Welcome, welcome, welcome to Being Black Fathers. I am Ramil, aka Chief, and I'm bringing you another special guest today, man. My partner, my co-worker. I'm gonna let her introduce herself.
My name is Brian Smith, and I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Philly boy. All right, can you talk about a little bit how you grew up, how it was growing up in Philly?
Me growing up in Philly, as a you know, a toddler, a youngster, whatever you want to call it and whatnot, we was more, you know, in poverty. You know, my family, you know, was heavy into that, you know, street life, you know, far as drugs and stuff like that and whatnot. I grew up in the projects. A lot of people don't know that and whatnot. 15 years I grew up, but it was kind of hard being, though, you know, seeing different things in life, seeing stuff happen to people from, you know, far as, you know, murders and, you know, shootouts and stuff like that, and that, you know, aspect of it and whatnot. But overall, coming up, you know, mom single, you know, dad wasn't there, you know, all the time and whatnot. So my family members, my grandma, my aunts and them, they kind of raised us, my uncles.
You family see what I'm system.
Yeah, yeah, family system and whatnot.
Right.
I had a lot of stuff as I was young, but I ain't have the stuff that I wanted as I was young.
Okay.
And whatnot, you know what I mean?
Okay, that's dope. Yeah, man, I think that's like everybody, like, pretty much that's how a lot of people came up, you know, the projects, poverty, stuff like that. That was just that time, I think, you know, like I told, we was talking about like them 80s, man, '70s, '80s, man, that was a rough time for us as a people, period. All right, you have what, three kids?
Three children.
A girl and two boys, correct?
Yep.
Okay, okay, that was. So explain to me, like, okay, who's the oldest, your son?
Brian. Brian's the oldest.
Okay, when you first saw Brian, this was your first father, first time ever having a kid, what was the feeling you felt? And you can go into explaining the other two, too.
Okay.
But what was the feeling you felt when you saw him for the first time?
It was a excitement, you know, seeing him being born, seeing him coming out. It was like, wow, I can't believe that I'm really having a child. Yeah. Like, and I always wanted a son, even though I was too young at the time, at, you know, growing up saying, okay, I don't want kids right now, but my first child, I wanted to be a boy.
Right, me too.
And getting that boy, I felt numb. I felt that the world has changed. Now I looked at everything differently. When he came, I was excited, man. I couldn't believe it. I called everybody, like, he's here. Like, you know, we've been in labor for 18 hours. He finally here. Like, Brian Jr. is like finally into this world. But it was exciting and whatnot. And it was like that, you know, for all, you know, the other two. Cameron, he was playing. You know, Brian wasn't playing, but Cameron was playing.
Okay.
And when my wife came in, she told me that, you know, she was pregnant. And I'm like, man, I need another boy so, you know, my legacy can live on and whatnot. And when she came in and told me that it was a boy, it's like tears of joy. Like, I start, like, you know, breaking down, like, yo, my prayers is being answered and whatnot. And Ava, man, my bundle of joy, she was also playing too. I needed that female to cap it off, to say, well, I have that queen and that princess in the house at the same time. So it was a mixture. My wife had her daughter after I received, you know, my two boys and whatnot.
Was you scared?
I was scared. I didn't know what to do.
Right.
Because, you know, growing up, you ain't have that figure to show you how to do it. So I didn't know what to do. I know when my wife got pregnant with Brian, she was in the nursing business. But she was more of, you know, I can't remember the name when you clean the patients and whatnot. So she was picking up 300-some pounds patients. So I was telling her, like, oh, no, you have to stop. Everything is on my shoulder. I was more ambitious to drive to work so she wouldn't have to work because I didn't want to see nothing happen, you know, to my first child. It was like, that was the golden boy and whatnot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's dope. What does being a black father mean to you? You know, everybody got different meanings, but what does it mean to you? to be a black father?
To be a black father, how can I put this? It's hard because we already had strikes against us and whatnot, and in trying to raise, you know, children in a system that's not for us, to tell them that, you know, you have to go in this world and defend for yourself, and you already have marks against you because the color of your skin and whatnot. To try to keep them on the right page.
Right.
To set standards in life. It's hard to do because as being a black father, I ain't have nobody to look to say, okay, this is how you be that role model, that figure in your, you know, your children's life and whatnot. You know what I mean?
No, that's dope. Yeah, that's crazy. I think, I was surrounded by males, but I always looked up to the females because that's who raised me. Like, they was all strong, man, like strong black women, man. Like, I don't see too many of that today, but I guess they getting back around to it, man.
I'll tell you this, right? My mother, my aunt, and my grandma. My grandma was the bell cow. She put hours and hours. She worked at a hospital. Hours. I'm talking about, you won't see her for 2 days. Like, where you, you know, I call her, Mom, where you at? Oh, I'm at work. I'm doing a double. I'm doing a triple. And she was doing this in her late 50s because she still wanted to provide all the necessary, you know, for us when she had gatherings. Everything was paid for. Nobody had to pay for nothing. You come in, if she know you on the street, you come in and eat. You come in her house and you eat, and she feeds you. She give you clothes. So she was the bell cow. So that branched from my mom. My mom was the same way. My mom was there, but basically my grandma raised me. Because my grandma was in the morning time, but my mom worked in the morning time. So my grandma was like, okay, it's time for y'all to go to school now. It's time for me to, you know, leave out to go to work. And my aunt was there also as a supporting cast. She worked, I'm talking about the ambition that they have and these ladies got, it strived me to be better. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, that's dope. That's dope. Okay, what's some of the best qualities you see in your kids? Each one of them. What's the best qualities that you see in them right now?
Right now. Brian. Determined. Ambitious to win. He do not like to lose. Nothing. If it's a spelling test he get one wrong, he upset. His determination sets himself apart from all three of them. Even though my other kids, you know, they want to win at life, but Brian is more determined. He more of an entrepreneur. He, Dad, how do I start my business? Right. I need my lawn service. He like, okay, let's make these t-shirts. Maybe I could do a graphic and design. Or like, he just came up to me the other day. He said, Dad, how can I put something together to start party planning? I'm like, party planning? Where you hear this from? But I say, look, man, whatever you want, I'm going to support you. You have to have everything written down, you know, as a plan, as a stepping guide and whatnot. Ava, her loving for other people. You see how she just walked up and she gave
you a hug? Yeah, gave me a hug. Yeah, that was beautiful.
She loved everyone. And, you know, and that's genuine. You can't get that from a lot of people.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying?
Kids, period, because that's all they know how to do is love.
That's all they do is love. And Cameron, man, is also determined, too, because he want to be great also. Yeah. You know, I could see him in me, or me in him, as far as, you know, especially football. He came up to me one time. He said, Dad, I had to make this kid cry. I said, why, Cameron? Because he you know, what did he say? He said, he did something to Cameron. I can't remember exactly what he said. But I had to make him cry. I said, Cameron, that's part of football. But he's determined to be great at any position that he play. Even right now, he's supposed to be skipped to a different grade because of his smarts. He's an athlete. He's a gifted child with the teachers, you know, tell us and whatnot. He's in the second grade, reading on the fifth grade reading level.
Dope.
So he's well-rounded far as his determined for schooling, you know, football and stuff like that. He's just, man, it's multiple things that I can say about all three of them.
That's
dope. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's cool when you got so much to say. Mm-hmm. You know, some people ain't got nothing to say. You got a lot to say, so that's dope. Okay, I want to know, like, what would you tell your kids the most important thing about life? Like I tell my son, like, life ain't going to be easy, period. So don't expect that. Mm-hmm. But no matter what you go through, you keep your head held high and mm-hmm. you push forward mm-hmm. regardless, and you're going to make it through whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what I tell my son. So mm-hmm. what would you tell your kids about life?
Like you said, life is hard, but you always have to stay, you know, a positive influence. You have to strive to be better, mm-hmm. you know, far as, you know, credit. Like I haven't been taught nothing about credit.
No, none of us.
And whatnot. So establish your credit. Establish being an entrepreneur. Mm. Go out and do your own thing and whatnot. Strive to be better than what you were yesterday.
That's a fact.
And whatnot. You know what I mean?
That's a fact. Yeah, I like that. I always strive to be better than what you were. Yeah. Okay. What is some of the best advice you can give your kids?
The best advice I can give my kids: do better than me. Love, you know, stronger than me. You know, don't follow my footsteps as me as working, you know, my whole life. Set your own trend. Be yourself. Don't never be a leader. Always follow yourself. You get people to follow your trend. Don't follow their trend. Be true to everyone and don't lie.
You
be honest to everybody.
Yeah.
Even though if it hurt their feelings, you still being honest, you know, with them and whatnot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope. Okay. You got three kids, so I know you've seen some crazy stuff. What is one of the craziest things you've seen your daughter or both of your sons? The craziest thing you've seen?
My daughter was with, I believe it was my wife, makeup. You know, I'm not a big fan, you know, of makeup and whatnot, but she on makeup. Mm. I remember one time she got a whole bunch of makeup on her face with Vaseline.
Shiny.
Like, how you got makeup and Vaseline on your face at the same exact time? Like, you know, she used to get in, you know, minor stuff, but it was funny because I'm like, you got patches everywhere. You got red over here, blue over here. You trying to put purple on your lips with Vaseline spray. You look like a clown and whatnot. So it was funny to me because the makeup thing and how she was trying to see. She seen my wife in the mirror making herself up, and she was trying to do it. And it was, you know, hilarious that, you know, she's trying, but at the same token, she looked like a clown and whatnot. You see what I'm saying?
Hey, man, that's crazy. Your kids, man, I always say, man, they never cease to amaze me, man. Kids, man, they all sometimes be thinking about, like, even especially when they was young, like, mm-hmm. and they do little stuff, and I be thinking, like, what made them think of this?
Mm-hmm.
What was they think? I always be wondering, like, what goes on in their mm-hmm. head. I'll be looking at my son sometime, man, and I just be wondering, just looking at him, like, what be going mm-hmm. through this man's head? And, like, that's some real stuff. That's why I be telling, boy, your thoughts, man. You got to be careful with your thoughts, too, bro.
That's definitely true.
You let it get carried away, man, and it take you to a place you ain't really trying to go. Okay. What else I want to say? Okay. Your kids. Your family. Your legacy.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you want to leave behind for them? What do you want your family, period, when they see your kids, your wife, whatever, that's Brian, he's known for, that
I,
was...
I want my legacy to be that, you know, upstanding man.
Mm.
I want my kids to say, I know one thing about my father, that he was true to whatever he did. He made sure it got done.
Mm.
So my legacy to pass on, you know, far as them being, you know, upstanding citizens, like being entrepreneurs, you know, and whatnot. I want them, it's hard to explain it because, you know, the legacy that I want for them to have is to be better. So it won't be like, okay, that my dad was over here and he went over here with us mm-hmm. and whatnot. I want my legacy to be that as they have their kids, the tradition goes on by being a father in their kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to set that trend, that legacy, to have them to be support system to their family, making sure everything is right. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And whatnot.
Okay, when they, all your kids, they all, even down to your daughter, they all get older. How hard is it going to be for you to let them go, leading this?
Man, you know what's crazy right now? Because I'm like, man, in my mind, like, I can't wait till they leave. Like, you know,
yeah.
With all the cleaning and all the other stuff, you know, the expensive sneakers and stuff like that. But it's going to be hard, you know, not to hear, you know, Ava, Brian, Cameron calling their names. You know, when I come home and they're in the house, I know they're safe. But leaving, even though they might be off in their own endeavors in college, owning their own business, but as a father, all my kids are spoiled. Excuse me. They all gravitate. They all under me. So not having that, not going to say not having that emotional, you know, bond with them no more, but not having them around me just for me to say or yell at them, it's going to be something that I miss because even though now, you know, sometimes I think about it like that. My kids is getting grown. My oldest son,
getting up there,
he's about to be out of high school. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, what am I going to do? You know, I'm used to having this setting.
Right.
I don't want them to go. If it was up to me, you might, as a parent, you might say, oh, you need to go out and venture on your own. But I know the world. I know where I came from, and I know how the world, if you're not, you know, equipped or mentally ready for it, it will spit you out cold and leave you somewhere, you know, and whatnot. That's why I want to store certain things inside them so that I could, you know, prepare them, you know, mentally and physically how to, you know, face this world when it comes up to discrimination as far as our skin color and stuff like that. But I don't want, honestly, I don't want them to leave. I might say it all the time, but I don't want them to leave because it's going to be hard, especially my daughter.
Right, I already know.
My daughter is my princess. That's my queen. You open the door for her. You close the door. You open the tops for her. You wash her dishes. Whatever she need, my boys need to help her. That's my queen. And for me to even think that she's leaving the nest, you know, it hurts. You see what I'm saying? I don't want them to go nowhere.
Hey, yeah, I understand that. Them your kids, man. That's love. Genuine love, man. Don't nobody really want to get rid of no genuine love.
Mm-hmm.
But you know they're going to always love you, but they're going to grow into their own. They have to, like we did when we was kids. So what do you see in your kids that makes you smile that you didn't see in yourself at their age?
I'm going to say the intelligence to learn more.
Okay. That's a good, yeah. It's a good deal.
Because when I was young, man, I really didn't care about learning. I wanted to run the streets.
Sure enough.
And whatnot. You see what I'm saying?
Sure enough.
Them to sit down to figure stuff out without having help, I see that in them. And whatnot. Like, it's just amazing. There's certain things I'm like, okay, where they get that from? For them to have that talent to learn more is mind-boggling. It'll blow you away because you look at my son reading books of, you know, people of habits. And I'm looking like, I didn't do that when I was 13.
Right, right.
My daughters and them picking up books, reading the books. I ain't do that when I was 5 and 6 and 7. I was on who bike I could go take. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was like it's like that with them. Their journey to learn more. They willing to learn, to pick up a book to understand. You see what I'm saying? To seek knowledge. I wasn't seeking knowledge when I was their age.
Yeah. I can agree with that But yeah, you're right. That's dope, man. These kids, that's what I say, man, people feel realize they are our future, for real. Like, we can't change the past and all the stuff we did, but we can make sure they never have to see or go through it.
Mm-hmm.
That leads me to this question. Do you want them to know the bad side of life so they can be prepared for it, or you want to shield them from it?
It's a twofold on that, because I don't.
Right.
Then again, I do. because I want them to understand where I came from
mm-hmm.
and where they are at now. None of my kids never experienced. I call it the hood.
Right.
They never experienced that. They always experienced me moving up mm-hmm. as far as my oldest. He probably was there for a year or maybe two. But he was never open to that type of lifestyle. And you can tell if you meet my kids that they never was open to that lifestyle. I don't want them to experience it, to be honest with you, but I, because I don't want them to say, okay, to be set like this is okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to set other people's standards, mm-hmm. but I want them to strive to be the best they mm-hmm. can be in right. life and whatnot. But then again, then you turn around and say, okay, if it's a time that's hard, can they overcome this obstacle?
Right.
And whatnot. So we, you know, that's why I say it's a twofold on it, because on a simple fact, because if they can't go through that trial and tribulation of that hard time, and they always, okay, we live in, you know, in a nice house, mm-hmm. you know, we get the finest clothes, but what if they can't get that, you right. know, when they first starting off and whatnot?
Right.
So they have to understand both sides of the fence. But if it was up to me, I wouldn't do it. Like, I wouldn't show them both sides of the fence. I would keep them looking forward, like, okay.
Okay,
this is
dope.
This. You see what I'm saying?
That's
keep
dope.
Keep moving.
Yeah, that's dope. I can respect that. I can respect. I don't want you to see where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to see that this you can do better.
Mm-hmm.
I can respect
and that. And that's how I always tell them, be better than what I was. Because if you better than what I was and what we have right now,
mm-hmm.
you'll reach the pinnacle and you'll be on top
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So hypothetically, all your kids grown now. What do you see them doing or being?
My oldest son, he said he wanted to do NASA.
Oh, he want to be an astronaut.
Yeah, so he want to, you know, go out of space and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My middle child, which is Cameron, he want to be a chef.
Okay.
You know, I'm just in a little bit on him. Cameron, when I cook, right, he always in the kitchen. He always eager to learn how to cook. He said, Dad, I heard this earlier. He said, Dad, I'm going to work at McDonald's and whatnot. And I look like, work at McDonald's? I said, it's nothing matter with working at McDonald's, because that's, you know, what you want. That's what you want. But I said, Cameron, what about owning seven McDonald's? You own these McDonald's now. Or you can own any restaurant that you want in this world and whatnot. But that's his thing, you know, is cooking. I could see him being a chef, culinary arts, somewhere owning a restaurant. And my daughter, you know, she really... I can't say for her because... She didn't give me that, you know, oh, Dad, I want to do this yet. I'm sorry. Paunisha. She want to be just like Paunisha. She's one of my family members.
Okay.
And whatnot. She's a doctor.
Oh, dope. She, yeah, that's
so
dope.
So I have pictures of her project. You know, being a doctor and whatnot, she dressed up Dr. Ava. That's one thing I remember that she did say she wanted to be a doctor.
What type of doctor is she?
She's a female. What is it? The OG?
OGBYN?
OGBYN, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's what, and Ava the same way. She got dial babies. She be working on the dial babies and everything.
That's
I was like,
dope,
okay.
Though, yeah. You know, right now, as a
right
kid.
There, yep.
So by the time she get up, man, yeah that's dope.
And
yeah.
I call her Doodoo. I love her on a simple fact because she's a positive influence on Ava. That's her JoJo. When we went to her graduation, she was so excited to see her walk down the aisle, just knowing that she's a doctor and whatnot. And that just strived her even more, you know, oh, I need the doctor jacket. I need the stethoscope and whatnot. And I'm looking like, huh? Where all this come from?
Mm.
Well, you know, she, you know, my wife always talked to her, you know, about her, what she want to do in her profession and whatnot. And Paunisha is the role model for her. She want to be a doctor. and whatnot. But all of them, man, I can say, from an astronaut to a cook to a doctor.
Dope.
They all had a thing. Each individual set, they do their own individual thing. But I'm glad they're looking towards a future, you know, far as being prosper and whatnot. Me, personally, I want them to own their own stuff and not work for nobody.
Right.
But I was telling one of my homies that Ava could own her own pediatric. Cameron could own his own, restaurant. Brian, he want to do national, but on the side, he still can own his own business and whatnot, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just proud of them, going for it.
Okay, you got two boys.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had to talk?
With my oldest one.
What was that like?
It was crazy because it was a talk after my wife said something to me. My wife came up to me like, oh yeah, Brian want to know certain things. So I'm like, oh, why he ain't come and tell me? So we had this whole conversation. It just felt weird. Because I told him I ain't had this conversation with my father, so it feels different. Like I can actually sit down and have this conversation,
right?
With him and whatnot. But it was weird.
Why was it weird though?
Because the questions that he was asking
and
whatnot, and I'm like, should I? I'm not gonna lie to my son.
Right.
How can I put this? and whatnot. But it was crazy. I can say it was crazy.
Yeah, I bet there was a crazy conversation. Because, honestly, I told my son, listen, man, I can tell you, is be smart in who you choose.
Mm-hmm.
Know the energies and the vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And stay strapped up until you ready.
Yep.
Don't be like me. I had mine young.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn from experience.
That's true.
So I be telling my son, like, we as the parents, and this is what I learned about my parents when we was younger, man. Mm-hmm. Like, they was only telling us from their experiences. Like, they had the cheat code. Some of us just hard-headed.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to do what we wanted to do.
And that was me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was me, too. That's why I be telling him, like, bro, like, we literally got the cheat code. So when I see you doing certain things, I don't see them before. Just like our parents. We remember back in the day, you'd be like, how does she know this? You try to figure out your parents know what's going on because they already done been through it. So they seen it before, so they was prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was telling my son, bro, I've been through so much that I'm able to come to you now when I see you doing this, like, bro, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you do this and you continue this road, this is where you're going to eventually end up. And he be looking at me like, right now he don't understand it. I guess I feel it because at the time I didn't understand it either when they was talking. I'm like, oh, they just mean, they don't know what they talking about. Well, they really do. That's a dope thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dope thing, man. Okay. What do you think about unity? Just as far as the family. Like, how do you see it structured? As I'm saying, as family union, as the family structure.
I think unity is important, destruction of the family, because it sets standards, a bind.
Mm.
As a unit, we move together.
Together, right.
And whatnot. And if you set that, standard, it can be a generational thing to build a bigger family than what you have at that time and whatnot. Without unity, people go astray.
Right.
They start doing their own things and whatnot. But I believe unity is one of the most important things to have as a family. Because without unity, what do you have?
Yeah, pretty much nothing.
Exactly. So it's like, unity is a big thing for me. I want my kids to understand that, being, cohesive as a family, all in one, all together.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it has to be there. Like, a lot of people are like, okay, why need unity? Unity is just not starts in the home. It starts on the outs also too, because if we was unified, if we was all as one, we will achieve more.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we need to teach that to our children so their generation can understand the unity, so they can get together as a collective people and whatnot, to have their own block of businesses and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? Because it comes into a support system. If we don't know the support system, we don't know nothing else also too. Because if you own a black business, right, and I'm not supporting you, 9 out of 10, your business is going to go down.
Yeah.
If, you know, we don't have enough people buying from you.
Right.
Because that, you know, if I'm using the word unity right and whatnot, if we all together and we supporting, you know, that's one big happy family. You see what I'm saying? It's keeping everything in our, you know,
our ecosystem.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's important to me for the, you know, unity and whatnot. I want them to understand that.
Okay. Okay, so you had 2 of your kids down here?
None of them. All of them is in Philly.
In Philly. Okay, so was it a culture shock when y'all moved from Philly to Georgia? Because I know it's a totally different speed.
To me, it was.
Right.
My wife, she always say, you know, I like the quietness. I like peace. We lived in, when we were in Philly, we moved out, you know, a little out of Philly. Mm-hmm. So it was quiet. Mm-hmm. Used to the quietness. But this quietness.
Right, it's different.
It's two totally different quietness. You know, it was a shock because then you got to travel 15 miles to go to a store. When I first moved down here and I was in Hampton, it wasn't nothing around it. We had to go 2 exits over. You know, just to go to a Walmart.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it definitely was a culture shock. You know, different people. A lot of people is down here is not, you know, originally from.
Yeah, I know a lot of
whatnot.
Yeah.
But just hearing, you know, different people's stories and talking to different people, meeting different people and whatnot, it was different for me. I'm used to all the time and whatnot. Now it's like, man, come on, you can't move a little faster?
Right, I get it.
And whatnot, you know what I mean? It was a shock. It definitely changed me, you know, as far as everything, how everything is laid out and whatnot.
Yeah, I was telling people, because when I came from down here and went up to Cleveland, it's totally different. You know, I come from here, you know, we speaking, way, hey, how you doing? You know, we ain't got to know you.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there, hey, how you doing? What you waving at me? I mean, it was a totally different vibe. Like, it was a little faster, but I mean, as far as the energy, like coming from here, yes, we was, our family stayed in a block radius.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All the way up there, it's just like haywire. It's, it's like controlled chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was a culture shock to me here. I always wonder when people be coming from different places, when they come here, like, do they just get in where they fit in, or is it's like normal? I know it's a little slower down here, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But do you just get in where you fit in, or do it affect you?
It don't affect me because I'm a person, you know, I like to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to meet new people and whatnot. So it ain't affect me on that aspect, you know, because I was like that coming from Philly, you know, open, you know, to different people as far as, you know, holding conversations and whatnot. Like my wife, like you said, like, yo, why is this lady waving at me?
Right.
And whatnot. I'm like, oh, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me normally holding a conversation with somebody, even if it's in Philly or if it's in Atlanta, I was always like that. So as far as that aspect of it and whatnot, I was like, oh, they waving? Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
And whatnot. But it's definitely different because if you come from Atlanta to Philly, like you said, you're going to, you know, Atlanta to Cleveland, it's to each his own.
You gotta
make sure they ain't trying to do nothing to you. They see you waving, oh, he's friendly, let me set him up or something. You see what I'm saying? And whatnot. It's definitely, you know, different on that aspect and whatnot,
My grandma told me that when I first moved in. She's like, listen, baby, you got a big heart.
Yeah.
You got to protect that because these people over here, they would take advantage of you.
Exactly.
And they would take your kindness for a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that and she was absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
She was absolutely right. My grandma, shout out to Maddie C. Grandma, okay, before we end this, I ask all my guests this 10, 15 years down the road, and your kids gonna hear this, what message would you leave them? You talking to them, not to me. You talking to them. You leaving them this message, sort of like a time capsule.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? You leaving them a message. What you want them to know?
That I, you know, I always want the best for them, that I truly love them and whatnot. I want whatever goal that they set out to do, you know, achieve that goal in life, relationships and whatnot, I want them to be the best. And everything that I did in life, it was for y'all. And I want y'all to understand that I work, you know, as hard as I can to provide the best scenarios for y'all, you know, period and whatnot. And keep striving. Be great at what you do. Let your ambition drive you to your next level. You know, I always say, it's a saying that I always say to y'all, just don't go for the stars, you know, shoot for the moon. So if you fall, you're amongst the stars and whatnot. And I really do believe that. Strive to be greater than whatever you expect to be, you know. Be who you are, not nobody else and whatnot.
Yeah, it's dope. That's dope. Man, again, I'd like to appreciate you for taking out the time to sit down with me, man, and do this interview. Because like I tell everybody, you don't have to, but you do. Mm-hmm. You called me, let me know, and I came through, and you did it for me. So you're a man of your word, and I appreciate that, bro. Oh, man. And this is Being Black Fathers, Chief Out.